And good evening, and welcome to Politics Now with your host, Bob Weinstein, former mayor of the city of Ketchikan, Democrat, and Kyle Johansson, former representative, Republican. This is a call-in show, and we encourage you to call in and join in the conversation. I guarantee you should not let these two get away with anything, and add your voice to that conversation by picking up the phone and dialing 225-9655 if you live in Ketchikan, Saxman, or Metlakatla. If you live on Prince of Wales Island or you're streaming from somewhere around the state, 1-800-557-5723. And if you're listening to us by stream from out of state, 907-225-9655. I'm Deb Turnbull. I am the phone answerer, the button pusher, and the rule maker. There are two rules: no profanity, no name calling. And the views and opinions expressed on this program this evening are not the views and opinions of the KRBD staff, the KRBD Board of Directors, and most of the KRBD membership. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And what is on for tonight?
Well, we have a number of things to talk about. You know, some state issues, some federal issues, quite a few things of newsworthiness have happened in the last couple of weeks.
This is right out of the box, ready. You can tell he's been doing his homework.
Yeah, but before we get into those issues, I just want to share a local issue with the listeners. And it's an issue that actually I just spoke to the Ketchikan Gateway Borough School Board a few minutes ago. I was asked by several citizens to look at a couple school district budget issues, and I have some school district budgeting and municipal experience in my past, and they were wondering in particular about two issues. One, and the one of major concern to me, is the fact that the borough assembly for the last several years has been requiring the school board to pay for fire protection for schools. Now, that may sound okay in and of itself, but they're only requiring them to pay for the schools outside of the city limits, giving the North and South Tonga service areas, fire service areas, nearly $60,000, and basically giving the bum's rush, if I can use that phrase on the radio, to city residents in the city fire service area.
Well, can I stop you for a second? So if you're Point Higgins, you don't. Who pays for that?
Everybody does.
And if you're at the charter school here in Bear Valley,
For fire protection,
Only
city residents.
Okay, so we all pay for. I want to break this down because you're so technical.
Right.
Because, you know, you're.
That's how my mind works.
How your mind works. You have a lot of experience in that. But basically, if you're out at Fawn Mountain, everybody on the island pays.
For fire protection.
Fire protection.
Right.
I live in the city, so I pay for Fawn Mountain's fire protection.
Right.
And then here in town at Houtling, only
city residents pay for fire protection.
And my friends who live out by Fawn Mountain don't pay for fire protection.
Why is that? Because that's what a majority of assembly voted to do. Now, the interesting thing is, as the borough staff and the assembly are well aware of, there's a state statute that basically says that borough revenues received through taxes collected on an area-wide basis by the borough may be expended on some general administrative costs like, you know, finance and that kind of stuff, and on area-wide functions only. And the statute goes on to say monies received on a non-area-wide basis can be used for functions that render service only to the areas outside the city.
Okay.
Notwithstanding that, the borough claims they have this policy of requiring the school district to pay for these services, limited only to the area outside the city, even though city residents, as well as residents outside the city, pay for borough government, pay for the school district.
Can we stop? And because
sure.
I don't know this very well myself, and I think people out who are listening might like to get a little more of an elementary breakdown. So an area-wide... give me an example of an area-wide tax at the borough implements.
Well, I really, when people inside the city or outside the city get their tax bills for city residents, it's the whole borough tax portion.
No, that's something simple, like the borough-wide sales tax.
Right.
An area-wide tax.
Right, or the borough-wide property tax. All of that is considered area-wide.
Okay, so let's break this down. If there's a sales tax that everybody, whether you live in or out of the city, pay for, you collect it from everybody, and the code says that to spend that money, you spend it on things that affect everybody.
On an area-wide basis. And it's not to say that, let's say some of it's used for maintenance. There may be a project that's inside the city. There may be a project outside the city.
Sure, but maintenance is all-encompassing.
But the program is area-wide, and services are provided relatively equally area-wide.
So how about a non-area-wide fee, for example? I assume it would be for like a service area
to maintain a road, and then apparently the North and South Tongass departments have, and I'm a little bit confused about what's happening out north, it's property tax-based and a fee, and there was, I think, a request by the board to make it all property tax-based. So, yeah, they are assessed to pay for the operations of the service area. Unfortunately, you and I are being assessed to pay for the operation of the service area and service area functions.
So I think a good example would be right out there by the school out south, the old Homestead area, because they have a service area. The school in itself is an area. I mean, school is an area wide, right?
School district is area wide. Yeah.
Okay. So.
And it's funded area wide.
Right. Okay. But within, if I went to that service area and built a subdivision of 40 homes up on the hillside, and I wanted to plumb it. I wanted to have a sewer system out there. And so that service area would be assessed, and that money would basically flow back to that service area. I mean, because it's a specific area, non-area-wide project that's only within that service area. So people out on North Tongass aren't going to pay for my sewer system on South Tongass, right?
Right, unless the sewer system was non-area-wide.
Well, no, I'm talking specifically within an area.
If it's a service area, the service area
pays. That's why I said a subdivision.
Yeah.
Specifically within a boundary, only those people inside that fence are going to pay for it.
Right.
Okay, so apparently that's not what's happening with the school district.
Not.
Is that your point?
That's my point. That I think, I'm not a lawyer, but it's pretty clear that the school district is funded on an area-wide basis, and I really question whether it's legal for them to fund fire services on a non-area-wide basis with area-wide money. And even if it's legal, the question is it fair? Is it ethical? Is it moral?
So is this a big issue? I mean, is this something that the school board? What is the school board?
Yeah, well, I think the school board's been dealing with it. Apparently, they had some work session or something relative to that and or the pool issue, and I'll briefly get into that in a second. But they were told if they didn't pay up, the borough would withhold $4 million, to which I said, well, that sounds like blackmail to me. I mean, that's an absurd way of dealing with, a policy goal for the former majority of the assembly. But that was done before the last election. We do have a new assembly. Hopefully they'll take a fresh and fair look at the policy, and that's certainly what my objective is. But in any case, I asked the school district to do one of two things, and that's to add money into their budget to cover fire protection for schools inside as well as outside the city, and ask the borough assembly for the additional funds needed, or alternatively not fund fire protection for schools out of the school district budget. It's funded out of city service area and then the other service areas. And then on a related issue, I was also asked, the school district is required to pay a certain amount of money for the operation of the rec center. And, you know, in and of itself, that may not be a bad idea with two sort of caveats. One is, as you remember, Kyle, we voted for 1% sales tax for recreation. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea if that is or is not sufficient to cover all the costs, including the rec center costs. If it is, then if they're making the school district pay, then we're paying double. But if it isn't sufficient, I'm told, and this was confirmed at the assembly or at the school district meeting tonight, that let's say the park or the rec center budget is $2 million, and they're asked to pay 30% or whatever the figure might be. What the methodology is, they don't include any revenues received for use of the facility by others. Well, they get substantial fees. I mean, I'm an annual member, and the point is, if there is justification to actually charge the school district, it seems it should be based on the net costs of operation, not a higher amount that ignores the fact that it gets substantial revenues. Right. Anyway, so that was my what I was doing just before I came to the radio.
So you actually testified in front of the school board?
I did.
Were they nice to you?
Yeah, they were very nice.
Did they know you?
I think most of them know me one way or the other.
Oh, they were still nice to you.
They were still nice to me.
Well, there you go.
And you're going to be nice to him this evening, right?
I've been nothing but nice to Bob my entire life, except that one time when Tony Knowles was in town.
Right.
Other than that, we haven't had any problems.
Then it took him 10 years to tell the truth. But in any case, what would you like to talk about next? We've had a lot happen in the last 2 weeks.
I never said I didn't call. I never said I didn't call. Okay. I just failed to answer you every time. And finally, I did answer, and I said, yes, it was me. He knew it was me all the time.
So, okay. Well, I'll bring up the next subject. In the last couple of weeks.
You brought up the first subject.
Well, I gave you a chance, and you wanted to keep talking.
No. Okay, we're going to give you a
depth. Go ahead. Okay. What would you like to talk about next?
Well, I know you want to talk a little bit about the legislature, and so I thought that I would put the legislature out there. We've talked a lot about budgets. Everybody knows about the budget deal, and I know you want to talk about that, but there are other things happening, and I printed out the schedule for the next week and a half, and I thought I'd just kind of go through it and throw a few things out there and see what you think and see what people at home might be curious about.
And by the way, if I could interrupt you, people, feel free to call in at 225-9655, or if you're a Twitter person, you can tweet your comment or question in to at KRBD Radio, and we will see it almost instantaneously.
Yes. Technology is amazing.
Yes, it is. Okay.
Okay. So, and I don't know. I haven't really paid attention because it's all about the budget and all about that sort of thing. That's all we've really talked about. But just this morning, Department of Education, they're coming out with new, you know, they got rid of the test, the big graduation test. Well, they're rewriting a new one, and that's going through. So this morning they had a hearing on, it's called the Alaska Measures of Progress. Student testing, it's been completely overhauled now. No Child Left Behind, was that the one that was just recently kind of sunsetted?
It wasn't sunsetted. I think it might have been modified or
shelved and said.
Gave the states more ability to do state-specific adjustments.
Yeah, so that's something for folks to check out because that's always been a real stickler for teachers. I know a lot of teachers around my close proximity, but having to teach to that test and teach two tests in that, and you're a former superintendent.
Right. Well, it sounds like they're going to come up with another one, and I don't know if the test that they just shelved was required and based upon certain standards required federally or if the state did it itself, but I guess they admitted one way or the other it fails to measure what they think it should measure. One would think they would have known that before using it in school districts.
Well, I mean, that was kind of a nationwide thing, right? I mean,
well, they were doing that back when I was a school superintendent.
Right.
There were statewide tests and efforts to do more.
Sure.
And, you know, if there's a need to do that, great. Otherwise, let school districts function, let teachers teach, and spend more time teaching instead of giving tests all the time.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, state tests.
Right. And then Medicaid reform, biggest cost driver in the state budget, health and social services. Do you know anything about what's going on?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that. Interestingly, you didn't see...
I knew one of these he'd be
You didn't see the
about.
House or Senate majorities...
He was waiting.
...issuing press statements about this report, but the majority, in other words...
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
the Republicans hired a consultant...
Wait a minute. The majority has four Democrats, okay. Proud, card-carrying Democrats okay. who are in powerful the positions.
The Republican-controlled by the way. Majority...
Thank you.
...did... not like what the where the governor was heading with Medicaid expansion, and last year they commissioned a study by the Menges Group to look at Medicaid and tell them how bad it was for the state of Alaska. And
is that what the RFP actually said, did it say, can you answer our questions?
You're very
leading in your description right. of the events.
Well, they had questions, I guess. But of note, and I'll get to this in a minute, the owner of the Menges Group is a guy named Joel Menges, who worked for another company before he formed his own called the Lewin Group. And that's sort of important here. So anyway, they just came out with their report. The legislature accepted it with zero fanfare. And the reason was it basically dismisses the major challenges that the lawmakers who commissioned the study had about Medicaid expansion, and basically said Medicaid expansion is good for the state of Alaska. They certainly recommend some changes in the program and ways of reducing costs and duplication and so on. But
so what's wrong with that?
A report very favorable to Governor Walker and the majority of Alaskans who actually thought Medicaid expansion was a good idea.
Okay. So what's wrong with that is my question, because if they put out a call for an analysis, the analysis comes back and says you're wrong, and they just and you said yourself there's been zero response. So, I mean, I could see if I could see if they came back and they said, you know, that's just a bunch of hogwash. You guys don't know what you're talking about. Let's go get another group to get our proper answer. But it seems like you're endorsing the fact that they just took the conclusions of the report and just said, okay, well, let's move on to the next thing.
Well,
because
they
were wrong.
But they didn't say that. If they had
what
said,
did they say?
If they had said,
you said they didn't say
well,
anything.
Well, one of them said, oh, I don't want to talk about it. I want to talk about reform.
Well, sure. But you just said there was zero reaction to it. So to me, it seems like, okay, we got our answer. We're moving
on. Well, Senator Kelly said he's met with the health department and he's, quote, eager to get a reform bill through. That's what he's talking to about.
Okay.
And
maybe he's talking about those portions of the report that you stated actually had suggestions for reform.
But anyway, Senator
maybe they're
Coghill,
embracing it.
Senator Coghill, who led the charge successfully to sue the governor over Medicaid expansion, you know, sort of poo-pooed the results. But in any case, it's a positive result. Apparently some very good information in the report. But now getting back to Menges and the Lewin
yes.
Group, under the previous governor, Sean Parnell, the Lewin Group, for which Joel Menges worked at the time, did some kind of similar study for the state. What's the impact on Medicaid expansion in the state of Alaska? Governor Parnell suppressed the report. It may have come out finally, I don't know, but suppressed it despite public calls to, hey, we've used public money to pay for this. What does it say? I think we know now why it was suppressed, because it didn't go along with the blind anti-Obamacare ideology that Sean Parnell and a majority of the legislative majority held and holds, and that, instead of looking at what's best, what are the facts, Yeah, and making some decisions based on that. It was based on ideology.
Do you have inside information that Sean Parnell is going to file for a seat here sometime soon? I'm just wondering. The guy's been retired for a couple years.
Is he running for borough assembly or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
But anyway, I just wanted to make that connection. You basically had somebody who worked for both administrations, one report suppressed. To their credit, the legislature did release this report right away.
Well, sure, and who knows? I mean, I haven't read the report, but I don't know what the question that was asked. I mean, if the questions are different, then you're going to have different reports. I don't know.
Okay, well... Since we're on state things, let's keep going and want to talk about, you know, there's a continuing effort now, this group formed by one of the major telecommunication companies in the state and one of the state unions and some other groups. I think they were calling themselves One Alaska. Now they call themselves Alaska's Future. But anyway, they hired an army of lobbyists. Who have descended on the halls in Juneau to invite legislators to some of the finest eating and drinking establishments in the capital city.
Wow, Juneau's got a lot to offer.
To talk about their fiscal plan for us, their fiscal plan simply being...
Who are these people you're talking about? You make them sound like the monkeys from the Wizard of Oz descending down. Like, who are these people?
Well, it's like Ron Duncan, who's the president of GCI.
Oh, this is the GCI group?
The GCI group, yeah.
Oh, I see.
And some other businesses. I heard the AFL-CIO, the state AFL-CIO signed on. And, you know, so there's some, I don't want to say strange bedfellows, but they have not always seen eye to eye on various issues.
Interesting.
But anyway, instead of supporting a comprehensive plan to solve the fiscal gap, reduce spending, some kind of broad-based revenue, and some use of excess permanent fund dividends, they're focusing on the latter exclusively and urging the legislature to... basically use permanent fund earnings to pay for state government.
So they're opposed to what? Income taxes or oil taxes? Or they're opposed to everything? I mean, the first option is...
To my knowledge, they haven't said what they're opposed to. They've only said what they favor, and they are really pushing hard to, in my view... begin the end of the permanent fund dividend program.
This is the group that you said, was it a month ago, that they were skirting the law, shadowy figures in the night? Is this the same group?
Yeah, it's the same group.
Remember that?
They're a 503C1 or
Remind
two
us
or
about
three
how shadowy they are, because you kept using language that I was like, Bob, don't say it's not nice to say it like that.
Okay. Well, they didn't want to disclose who was participating, who was funding it.
All right.
And that's
now, is that allowed under the law? Or is that just something you personally disagree with?
It's the latter. A group that's trying to influence public policy.
So they're actually following the letter of the law, but you disagree personally?
I don't know that they are. I assume that they have probably got legal advice.
Because GCI has probably got some pretty good attorneys.
Right. But anyway, you have a guy who makes $3.5 million, flies around on executive aircraft, which, by the way, one of his personal companies owns and leases it to the telecommunications company, which is really a good deal. I wish I had thought of that during my employment.
I bet there's one or two folks on this island that are leasing aircrafts back to their own company, Bob. So
well, that may be. That may be.
If that's really the number.
But I don't know if they're publicly traded. But in any case, the point is you have a guy who wants to reduce the average Alaskan income, which is, I guess, $50,000, the last published figure, by about 2%. His $3.5 million, not including the aircraft lease money, is like 0.029%. So you and I will essentially contribute 70 times more than very wealthy corporate individual, and I don't mind the fact that he makes money. But why
is the AFL-CIO supporting it then? Because they're all about the worker. I mean, they created the weekends.
Right.
Unions.
And GCI, right? I don't think it's a union company, but that's neither here nor there. The real issue
why would
the real issue is why And I don't know. I'm not invited into their private meetings.
I mean, just philosophically, just generally, why would the state's largest union that represents the broadest group of labor folks and talk about how their whole life is to improve the station of the middle class union worker, and why would they support something?
Well,
like
probably that? Because there's some common interest in minimizing decreases in the state budget, especially mm-hmm. including the capital budget. You know, I don't know. But the other thing that's being pushed now, in fact, Senator Stedman was quoted in the paper saying he's in favor of it, is ending the inflation proofing of permanent fund. You've been a legislator.
Yeah,
you know the history of that's been done essentially since day one, and certainly, the last 20 or 30 years.
I don't want to leave the GCI thing. Before we wrap up and go on and talk about the minutia of inflation proofing, which will probably make most people's eyes gloss over, how do you characterize this group? Because all I have right now is this shadowy thing that you described a month ago. Now that some more folks have come out, the union's involved, I mean, are they just kind of a alpha in the corner wacko group?
They're not a wacko group at all, but they're a very powerful group with a lot of money behind them. You have some corporations, and you have some, at least one union. I don't know if the state unions have joined in yet or not. But they have the ability to wine and dine legislators. They invited the minority to, according to an article, some fancy Juno restaurant to have a secret meeting, and they said no, they were going to go have a public meeting someplace.
Okay.
But the point is, they have the means to influence public policy in a way that the typical Alaskan who doesn't have an executive jet at his or her disposal to fly to the Capitol
have. It is unbelievable the way you paint the picture of the decadence of Mr. Duncan.
I'm not saying he's decadent. But
for a minute, I thought you were talking about Jim Duncan. But then,
are they brothers?
Okay.
Are they brothers?
I don't know. Oh. Do we need to go? Because I wanted to cap this off, but we can go to a break and I can do my little bit.
No, go ahead. Cap it off.
Sure?
And then
we're
we'll
not
go.
On a hard break?
No, we're
here?
Not on a hard break.
Excellent. I just want to roll this out here a little bit. Just because of the way that Bob has.
Issue?
Yes. Okay. I'm gonna. This is the membership of the quote GCI group. This is the Alaska's future membership. Starting off, Linden Transport, Alaska Marine Lines, which is just right down the street here.
Yep.
NANA, Linden Logistics, Associated General Contractors, that's the trade group for all the construction
headed
companies.
Headed by Senator McKinnon's husband.
Many people around here are part of that. Yep. GCI, of course, the Laborers Local 341, the AFL-CIO. Goes on. Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation, IBEW, the 1547 is on board. John Binkley, former Republican governor and Senate. Fran Ulmer. I mean, you got John Binkley, who was the candidate for the U.S. in the primary for the U.S. Senate, along with Fran Ulmer, who was the Democrat lieutenant governor. Yeah. I mean, this is like across the aisle.
Oh, Tony Knowles is on board.
These are hands and Chena Hot Springs, which is owned by the craziest man in Alaska. Trident Seafoods, which is right down the street. They're on board. Arrowhead Transfer. No. I want all of these out there. Arrowhead Transfer, NC Machinery, which is out, National Education Association. Dowell and Back, which is one of the biggest field service companies, oil field service companies, Worldwide Movers, Alaska Trucking Association. Hey, guess what? You can go right down to Annabelle's to talk to Doug Andrews, because looks like the Prospector Hotel is on board publicly supporting this. So, I mean, we're talking about, I mean, you think Doug flies to Juneau in a jet?
No, that's
to
good.
To lobby
that's good information.
On this issue?
No, that's good information. I'm
the way you painted it, man, Annabelle's must be making a ton of money, Bob.
I didn't say that. At first, as you know, they were very secretive about who was joining and who was funding it. And the question is, aside from politicos, what individual Alaskans are part of that? And is that group, regardless of...
Are you saying that the owners of Annabelle's are politicos? The last I checked,
not what
they're
I
down
said.
There in the kitchen
I said,
making
I said,
prime
the,
rib.
I said the individuals on there. There's Tony Knowles.
Jim
there's
Clark.
There's John Binkley. He's a Politico.
He's an Esquire.
Yeah. So, it'll be interesting to see. But the question still is, why are they focused only on taking the permanent fund dividend away from
Samson
everyday
Alaskans? Samson Tug and Barge,
yeah,
they're right.
Yeah, there. I know. Good people, good companies, that's not the question. My question is, do you think that somebody like Mr. Duncan will belly up to the bar and say, I'm going to pay the same portion of my income as I'm asking Kyle Johansson and Bob Weinstein
would
to pay?
You like,
that's the question
would you like,
for me.
After we come back from
if
the break.
If you can tell me yes to that, I'll join this group.
After the break, I would like you to try and recharacterize this group rather than the gold-plated Jim Duncan.
Okay. I'm going to take us to break so I can go answer that phone. Okay, and we're back. And to the caller who rang before the break and then right at the end of the break, I can't leave the board. So please call again, and I will turn this over now to Bob and Kyle. There you are. I'll be right there. Don't go away, caller.
Hey, it was Common Core was the national thing. The Common Core went out the window.
Right.
And this is the state's
first
chance
test
of freely building their own tests.
Well, they had done one before that.
Sure. They've been doing them for years. But, I mean, Common Core was it seems like it was such a restraint on teachers. Like you said, let teachers teach. I mean, we can agree on
right.
that.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay, so what's happened in the last 2 weeks at the national level? Oh, that might be of interest.
What?
The fact that you're laughing is very apropos. The leading Republican candidate for
Donald Trump
was endorsed by somebody who styles herself as Mama Grizzly, conservative, Sarah Palin.
You know who's second in New Hampshire? I think it's New Hampshire or Vermont. Jeb Bush.
Oh.
He's polling number two now in, I think, New Hampshire.
I thought John Kasich was. But in any case, so we had the endorsement. Did you see it?
I did not see it personally, no.
It was very interesting. I watched it, and then I watched Tina Fey's version. Then I saw it on Comedy Central.
Well, sure.
Then I saw Stephen Colbert. So,
okay. So you hit all the credible news.
It was great fodder for every major comedian in the United States to see listen to Sarah Palin.
Yeah, but what does it do for the people who actually support her, which there are people?
Oh, there are, but not in Alaska. If you looked at
Alaska doesn't matter in the national
politics.
Yeah,
I know, but so Trump doesn't care about our 3 electoral votes.
Well, I'm sure he does. But, hey, I want to talk about that, but we might have someone on the line. Customer is always right.
We do have someone on the line. Mark, are you there? Try that again. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. Bob, Kyle, he has a question for you. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, Bob and Kyle, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Nice.
So my question isn't particularly newsworthy, but roughly a year ago, my favorite blog shut down when Amanda Coyne went to work for Senator Dan Silva. So I'm wondering, you know, other than your excellent show, where should I be getting my insider scoop on what's going on in Alaskan state politics these days?
That's a good question. Yeah, Bob, where do you get all your nuggets of information?
What's that? From you, Kyle.
No, I don't think so.
That's a good question. You know, the ADN provides some good information. There's a new blog by Casey Reynolds, I think, in Anchorage called Midnight Sun AK.
Yeah, that one actually is pretty good, and that's owned by, I believe, Lotsfeldt. He's the guy that does campaigns, usually he ran Jim Elkins' campaigns back in the day when Jim ran for the State House. So that's one that I like to watch as well, the Midnight Sun is what it's called.
Midnight Sun, AK, yep.
Yep. So that's pretty much, I mean, I'm all over Twitter, so I follow everything that has Alaska politics. So, I don't know, if you're on Twitter, go check out my Twitter follower.
But basically, the major news outlets, Mark, in terms of the ADN, APRN,
Yeah, when you want to know what the East Coast echo chamber is for Alaska, then you go to the Alaska Dispatch, where Alice Rogoff, the wife of the Carlyle Group's founder, just comes to Alaska and buys a bunch of media. And then
you were just defending big corporate interests. Now you're...
No. I'm just talking about...
Just because she had Obama to her house when he was in Anchorage?
She's the lady that... that now the East Coast calls Alice Rogoff to find out what's going on in Alaska. It's the most bizarre. I'd love to just write a white paper, but no one would read it. But it's fascinating to me what's happening. Nonetheless, you get your average stuff from the ADN. But, yeah, Amanda did a really good job. There's also, I'll try to find it while we're going through the show, Mark.
Well, there's Alaska
still
Commons.
Alaska Commons is a little more left-leaning, alaskacommons.com. It's John Arono runs that. Public radio on the tweet has some really good stuff. They have some really good reporters in Juneau. They have always had good reporters.
What's it called?
KTOO.
Oh, KTOO, yeah.
Has some good stuff coming out of out
so
of,
Mark, there's a vacuum for you, it sounds like. You ought to start a political blog.
I'll take that under advisement, Bob. Thank you, guys.
What, Mark, I don't know if you hung up already, but what do you look at? Following Nat Hertz, too, up at the ADN, he's a really good reporter in the building. But do you follow something? I mean...
Well, that's the thing. There's been a hole in my Alaska politics reading since Amanda Coyne left.
Yeah.
So
somebody took over.
Looking to replace that.
Yeah, as soon as Amanda shut hers down, the very next day, that's what I'm trying to find right now, the very next day a website appeared, and it was identical layout to hers. And everybody thought that she had sold it to this lady. And she said in one of her final tweets, she went dead silent after she got hired by the senator, obviously, that she didn't have anything to do with this new blog. And I will find it, and I'll throw it out there as soon as I find it. But there's one more. I can't remember what it's called.
Well, there's the Immoral Minority.
The Immoral...
focuses on all things Palin and a few other things from time to time.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about that stuff, Bob.
So, Mark, we were just talking about the Palin speech. Did you happen to catch it?
Just bits and pieces, I'm afraid, but it's been pretty wild.
Yeah, that's a good characterization of it.
Yep. So, all right. Well, I'll find it, and we'll let you know, Mark. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, right. Thanks. Have a good evening.
So, we were just talking about what you were just
talking about. Well, Palin's endorsement, what impact it has. You know, Cruz and Trump were running neck and neck, and the question is, does this make a difference for Trump in Iowa or not?
Well,
and then, of course, it came out that she flies in a charter jet, which is okay because Trump paid for it, the campaign, or his personal, flew from Anchorage to Iowa.
Right.
And that day, her son got arrested at her house for domestic violence, and that made national news as well. And she later... And this is now a little more serious than her ranting word salad speech. She blamed her son's alleged PTSD on President Obama and bad treatment of veterans. Now, I had two reactions to that. One is, I thought the Republican Party, and Sarah Palin in particular, was the party of personal responsibility. That didn't seem like a whole lot of personal responsibility to me. And second was, knowing Sarah Palin as you do, I have a three-part question.
Okay, we don't have enough time for that. But
you know, do you think her son was ever diagnosed by a medical professional as having PTSD?
No idea.
No, I don't know that, but let's just ask that. You know, I would bet her a beer she couldn't show that, but maybe he did. And if so, did he ever go to the VA to get services? And yes or no? No, we don't know that. Let's say he and his mom and dad determined the services were either not being provided in a timely manner or did not meet Palin family standards for medical attention. Don't you think most mama grizzlies who have millions of dollars would, in that case, have hired the best private doctors to address that. But more importantly, you know, aside from those rhetorical questions, we know Sarah Palin. Her son got out of the Army in 2009 or 10. He was actually deployed when Bush was president. Don't you think if he had PTSD for the last 6 years or ever since he got out, Palin would have been blaming Obama for years and years and made a huge issue out of it instead of only when there's a alleged drunken beating in Wasilla?
I have no clue. I mean, what are you supposed to say to something like that?
Well, I would say, yeah, we would have heard about the blame game.
I don't know enough about
the blame game
about the medical portion of it.
No, and I don't either, but I'm talking about, we know Sarah Palin. She would have used that. You know, she would have started some group and tried to make some money on blaming Obama for being bad to veterans.
Oh, how about this? What do we care? She lives in Arizona. She's not running.
No, actually, I heard she sold her house in Arizona.
Oh, my goodness.
So maybe she is running.
Okay, well, you brought up parties. So we can shift away from Palin and back to the parties that you were just talking about, how the Republican Party, this and that. And it was on the front page of the paper today. I don't know if you read the paper.
Yeah.
Did you? You still read the paper?
Yeah.
I heard about it. Anyway, so what is the deal with the state Democrat Party now allowing anybody to run as a Democrat or in the Democrat primary? Do you know about this? What does that mean?
Well,
like, I don't understand what's happening. Can you explain it as a Democrat?
Sure, I can. First of all,
do you support it?
Yes.
Wow.
First of all, some background, Kyle. As you know, unlike the Republican Party, the Democratic Party is a party of inclusion, not exclusion.
No. The Republican primary is open to undeclareds and independents. The majority of Alaskans can vote, just like in the Democrat primary.
Right.
So that's inclusive.
Right. But as you know, are you going to let me finish? So what I do mean is, as you know, Alaska had an open primary that you or I could ask for the Democratic ballot or the Republican ballot and vote. Which party put an end to that?
When?
I'll answer my own question. The Republican Party put an end to it. So now you have to be a Republican or maybe an independent to vote in the Republican primary. The Democrats let everybody but Republicans vote in their primary.
Right, which is the same as Republicans. Anybody but Democrats can vote. But Democrats can vote in the Republican primary.
It's a Democrat, Libertarian, American Independence ballot. So there's multiple parties already represented on what you think of as
that
a Democratic ballot.
That's for the general election.
So, right. So let me finish. So with that in mind, one party closed. One party wanted to say, okay, we represent, there's 20, I don't know what the percent is today. Let's say 20% of the people in Alaska are Republicans and 15 are Democrats.
It's actually more like 10 and 20. But
okay, well, whatever. So
there's actually twice as many registered Republicans as Democrats in this
state. But some huge percentage, 56, 65% are unaffiliated, independents,
yes,
whatever. So the Republican Party view is, let this narrow little band of people make a decision all the candidates.
No.
I'm giving you my opinion.
But that's not how it works.
Okay. Let this narrow band, and you have to be a Republican to be on this ballot, defying what is happening both in the state and, frankly, what's happening nationwide. I think it's why Donald Trump is doing so
because people are
tired of the party labels. So the Democrats said, for the 2016 Democratic primary election, any voter who is registered as a Democrat, undeclared, or nonpartisan may file for office and appear on the Democratic Party's primary ballot. Undeclared and nonpartisan candidates may be listed using the category in which they are listed, URN, or they may be listed as independent or non-affiliated. The Democrat or non-affiliated candidate receiving the most votes in the Democratic primary will advance to the general election ballot as the party's nominee.
As the Democrat's nominee.
Where he slash she will be listed with the same identifier used in the primary. I think that's great. More people can run for office.
So what on earth is left of the Democrat Party? Does it even exist anymore?
Of course it exists.
Because anybody can run as a Democrat. And it doesn't matter. I don't have to support your platform. I can say the heck with the Democrat platform. I don't agree with anything on it, but I'm going to be the nominee from your party. But I don't agree with anything in your platform.
Well, Kyle, the fact is, as you know, you've been around a long time. You could do that today. Kyle Johansson today could say, "I'm going to run for the state legislature or Congress or president if you chose to as a Democrat." And you'd be on the ballot, even though everybody in this
and
room...
And I would lose. And that's why the Democrats are doing it, because they've got a bad reputation. When you say Democrat in this state, they automatically don't get along with the National Democrat. That's why it's happening, because as a National Democrat Party is anti-oil, anti-timber, anti-everything Alaskan, and as a Democrat in this state... You can't win. You guys are desperate for candidates that don't have a big D on their chest. Well, that's the problem.
Well, and I'll have to say that I think this is a ballot access issue. As I said, in the state, the Republican Party, limited access. Nationally, as you know, they have this big talking point thing about voter fraud, even though there were no instances, provable instances of voter fraud, other than some Republican political operatives, I believe in New Hampshire, getting indicted for voter fraud.
You want to have a voter fraud battle over anecdotal voter frauds?
The whole photo ID?
It's more dead people in Chicago voted for Kennedy than there are people in Alaska.
That's myth.
Okay, so you tell me what is wrong with the Republican Party having a primary election to select a Republican candidate to put on the open general election. Why is that?
Because it eliminates a huge number of people from being on the ballot. 80% of
why can't the Republican
party? They can do it. It's their party.
That's
right. I'm not saying it's illegal.
No, it's not
illegal. But I'm saying it says unless you're vetted by Randy Riedrich and the gang in Anchorage, 80% of the people of Alaska could not be on the ballot. The Democrats, apparently, and I'm not a party operative.
Anybody can file. I never asked Randy Riedrich if I could file. I just went down and filed.
The Alaska Democrats, on the other hand, said that...
Bob, you could file as a Republican tomorrow, and nobody could do anything about it. And you would be on the ballot
as a Republican.
But the
difference is, the Democrats...
It doesn't cost you
the Democrats said independents can already vote in the Democratic primary.
Just like Republicans.
If they choose to.
Just like in the Republican primary.
If they choose to.
Right?
Therefore, they're saying anybody who can vote in a Democratic Party primary may run for office on that. And if you look at what's happening, you know, you had Dan Ortiz run as an independent. He won, beating Randy Riedrich's backed, I don't know if you backed her with permission, but he ended up, as you know, trying to support her with the infamous mailer. And then you had Bill Walker. You had Bill Walker and a Democrat joined forces. Sean Parnell became the only sitting Republican governor in the United States to lose in the 2014 election, a Republican sweep with that little asterisk.
Okay.
And that's because the people of Alaska were given a choice. And they said, we don't want the Republican. I don't know if they would have wanted the Democrat either, but they did want an independent slate. And Bill Walker and Byron Mallott made a good choice, and they're in office, and Sean Parnell
is not. And they did that after the primary?
What's that?
Right?
I believe they did.
Yeah, but we're talking about primaries here.
Right.
So that doesn't really...
It's opening up the process.
That doesn't really work with your argument.
The Republicans want to say only Republicans can be on their ballot. So 80%.
So the Republican Party only wants Republicans on their ballot for them, for everybody except Democrats to choose. And you think that's a bad thing. And you think that's a bad thing.
I think that's a good thing from a Democratic point of view.
Okay, that's funny. But truly.
But I do think I think opening up, you said the Democrats have 10% or whatever. Well, now there's another 56% of the Alaska voting public who can be on the ballot.
So when they sign up for this, do they have to endorse the Democrat platform? Do they have to?
They don't have to do it now. You could run as a Democrat right now and be on the ballot. Espousing the same, issues in the same way that you have when you ran for office and were in office.
Interesting.
But so no, they can run, and if those voting in the Democratic independent primary think that's the best person, I mean, as you remember, we've had some people. And I could name names. I mean, you know, Ted Stevens was challenged by a Democrat woman from Anchorage whose initials are T.O.
Don't tease the people.
Yeah,
Teresa Obermeyer. She'd be thrilled to be.
And I remember going up to Ted Stevens because they were having a debate. And I said, I just want to tell you as an Alaskan, as a Democrat, I'm very sorry that you have to be in a debate situation with this person who was not regarded as a true Democrat by people like me.
But wasn't she if I recall, it was Ted Stevens, Jake Whitaker from Ketchikan, grew up here in Ketchikan, remember? No, not Jake. Jake's older brother, Jed. Jed Whitaker. And, I mean, you just frosted my cake, Bob, is what you just did.
Oh, good.
I mean, that is the best you can do is Teresa Obermeyer. And that's why the Democrat Party is so desperate to open anybody out there in the world that could please help our dwindling party before it crumbles into the sea.
Well, we'll see.
Please come and we'll take you in. We don't care about our platform. We'll just shove the platform aside. If you can possibly get elected, would you please associate yourself with us?
Well, maybe Sarah Palin will run as an independent now. You never know.
That's a sad, sad day.
I think it's a great day. It's a recognition that the vast majority of people in the state of Alaska in the United States are saying, heck with the parties, heck with labels. And
Bob, I need to remind you, the vast majority of Alaskans were not part of the Democratic Central Council, which is about 12 people who met in secret in a dark room in Juneau, I'm sure.
Really?
So was it seven people decided this.
The same room where Alaska's Future is meeting to determine our future?
I think they're down at one of their member groups down at Annabelle's with one of the member organizations having a nice, moderately priced prime rib on Friday.
So we only have a little bit of time left. I don't know if there's anything else either of you find pressing, but do it now.
Okay. Well, one thing that I find pressing is Donald Trump announced that he is not going to participate in the Fox debate 2 days before the primary or the caucus, which means it must be Sunday. And it seems to me, I'd like to get your reaction to a statement, that the other candidates are sort of darned if they do and darned if they don't, in the sense of if they ignore Donald Trump, they're ignoring the front runner and they'll just go after each other and he skates. And on the other hand, if they spend too much time talking about Donald Trump instead of each other, does he care?
It's a no-lose situation. He's in a position where he can do whatever he wants. You know, I've never seen anything like this before. And he's going to be throwing a rally at the same time. And he's going to get more folks. What's going to be really interesting is to look at the television ratings.
I bet they go down.
I mean, that's the deal. He hasn't had to pay hardly anything in the Nielsen share. It's going to be interesting to see what the ratings are. But you're right. There's no loss here. And we're almost out of time, right?
Well,
I have one thing I want to say real quick.
Okay, go. You can do it really quick.
Thursday at 10 a.m., you can get all this stuff on the online or call the LIO. But it's kind of interesting, Young Fishermen's Summit. A lot of fishing folks going on here. So 10 a.m. on Thursday, you can stream it online, check it out. There's a lot of attention on the fishing industry, which is really being looked at unprecedentedly these next couple of years. I mean, the fishing industry is going to get attacked. And this is a positive.
Okay. Yeah. And where is that?
Up at the Capitol.
Oh.
So it'll be streaming on gavel to gavel, alaskalegislature.tv probably.
All righty.
Well, great. Can I leave you with three quick quotes?
No, you can't.
One?
You can leave me with one.
Okay. This is the Trump quote of the day. Trump said today, "I refuse to call Megyn Kelly a bimbo because that would not be politically correct. Instead, I will only call her a lightweight reporter."
All righty. Well, listen, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate everyone who's out there listening.
Yes.
And thanks, Mark, for calling in. And we'll be back on February the 10th. That's in 2 weeks. And the caucuses will be held and over by then, right? The first two, Iowa and New Hampshire, are they both done
by
then?
I have no idea.
Okay, well.
I'm just wondering if we have any gauze.
I don't know, but, you know. I was a little nervous tonight with the intensity in the room. So I guess you guys did okay.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for hosting.
I thought it went great.
Politics.
I just
want
to stop the bleeding on my friend here.
Okay. Well, I'll bring gauze next time. And up next.
Did you need something to wipe the sweat off your brow?
Ladies and gentlemen, up next is Wednesday night's Rockin' Blues with Joko.